All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money, and happy 2026. It is our first episode of the new year. Super excited to be with you. I have Brian with us today, so we're going to cover a ton of the macro stuff. We've got the rally going. Is the crypto bull market of 2026 kicking off? Because after all that downward pressure to the end of the year, that first week of the new year has been quite green for Bitcoin, crypto, and meme coins across the board. We're going to talk about all of it. There was some worldly news out of Venezuela, and you might be thinking to yourself, how does that affect the crypto markets? You'd be surprised, because it does. We're going to cover that. And we have Brian with us, so definitely some momentum, money makers and stuff, and meme coins to cover on the back half of the episode. Brian, welcome in. How was your break? And were you having conversations at the dinner table like I was, where they were telling you, like, hey, how are your coins doing there, little buddy?
That's the best tweet around. I had a couple conversations like that, but I've massaged everybody in my inner circle of exactly what to expect. They've heard me a lot talk about volatility and not to get too worked up on the big moves upward or the big moves down. But I had a great break, man. No complaints. The kids were having a blast. I had a blast. I'm ready to be back in it for a fiery 2026. How was yours is the big question.
Yeah, man, it was good. I'm kind of in the same boat. Excited to be back. We're definitely going to try and get back into our regular kind of flow of putting out these episodes. Obviously, we're always going to have our flagship interviews with Bryce and Brendan, but the Rundown family has grown over the last couple of years, and people want more. So that's what we're going to try and do in 26, is try to figure out how we can bring you the same content, but maybe on a more frequent basis. So excited to be with everybody. I think it was a great sign. I bring this up for laughs. I think this is one of my favorite memes. As you can see down here, you commented, you loved it. I do remember from last year that, you know, people were asking about it and, you know, hey, what's crypto? Should I buy, you know, an uncle, I remember, that texted me in the middle of 25, kind of like, is now the time to buy Bitcoin? Should I buy some of this stuff? And then the same uncle at Christmas didn't bring it up at all or ask any questions about it. So I think that's a good sign. You know, hey, could it be a bottom tick? Who knows? We're kind of been holding that range, as we will switch over to coin market cap of, kind of the support for Bitcoin really holding strong in the 80,000 level, popped back up to, the 90s. We got up to, what did we hit? 94 this week, which, again, everybody was kind of starting to scream. They're like, hey, we're back. And it's like, oh, easy. Easy, calm down, super exciting to be back into the 90s for sure. But I think the most thing that sticks out to me in the price action was Bitcoin reclaiming the 90s, Ethereum reclaiming 50K. What were you seeing kind of this week, the breakout over the last, you know, 6 days since the new year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a green couple days, and that's been great. I think we're going to kick off a great 2026 year. I think there's a lot of people probably wash trading in December, a lot of movement there across different wallets. We were in the 80s for a while there. I wasn't sure how low we were going to go. I kind of was mentally prepared to touching the $80,000 mark, but we started to show some real strength. I'm not fully committed that we're back into this like face melting bull market and it's just time to, you know, buy everything out there because, you know, everything's gonna go up. I still think we have some real footing to find here. I did look earlier today. There's a large wall at about 95,000, and earlier today we touched it or right there a couple times, 94.5. So there's a pretty large sell wall at 95,000. I do think that we could be off to the races to over 100. And once we get over that psychological $100,000 mark we talk about all the time, that's when things are really going to start to heat up in altcoins and meme coins. But we certainly saw, once we started to pick up and we got over 90, we held 90, we held 92, we got to 94. One thing that was pretty clear, that people are still showing up. There's still an appetite for risk, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later in the show, but meme coins in particular showed a lot of strength, some up 20, 30, 40, 60%. So what that shows me is that there's people still out there that are ready to FOMO, that have a little bit more gamble in their blood, but we need to see strength in the overall majors. We need Bitcoin to get through that $95,000 mark. We need Solana to get above 140, 150. But there's been some nice movers. One that really stuck out to me, I saw good old Ripple, the XRP army. I am not part of them, but like I said, people have a little bit of appetite for risk. And that's up, 19, 20% on the week. So this is a very positive sign to kind of just wrap it all up, that we're seeing the majors move in a positive direction. But I think we still have a ways to go before we're just fully locked into, like, we're in the next wave, let's go, boys. And we could chop for a little bit longer, but definitely positive.
Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee, and right now you can grab a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. To qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
A new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. If you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality, so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Quince has everything you need. Their outerwear is especially impressive. Think down jackets, wool coats, and Italian leather outerwear that keeps you warm when it's actually cold. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. Plus, they cut out the middleman, so you're getting awesome prices. The wool coat that I got from Quince is super stylish. It's holding up way better than other coats I've bought before, and those coats were way more expensive. It looks good, it keeps me warm, and I didn't have to drop a fortune on it. Plus, their online website is super fun to shop on. It's fun looking to peruse, to look at their outerwear, but also they have super cool shirts, workout stuff. They even have a home section. You can get stuff for your house. Their website is awesome. You have to go check it out. So guys, refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, webroot.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their Total Protection Plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. Yeah, it's still, again, nothing we say on the show is personal financial advice. It's just a couple friends talking crypto here, but it is one of those times where, again, I brought up the altcoin season chart, but actually if we go back and switch to the fear greed index, we finally crawled out of the fear greed index. Now is in completely neutral at 50%. I mean, there was the time going into the holiday season that we were in fear for a very long time. I've been seeing tweets that there's a tons of different fear and greed indexes, and they kind of all track similar, but not the exact same. But a lot of these fear and greed indexes were actually in fear. They set a record for the length that they were in fear for consecutive days. And it seemed to be a solid amount of time. And so we've seen in the last week, we've broken out of this. If we go down to the 30-day here, you can kind of see what was this? 1-1. So we were fear 1-1, fear 1-2, and then broke out of fear on 1-3, 3 days later. We're here with you today live, and we're at 50. So again, I think that's something that you like to see. We're going to cover some of the price action, some of those memes. But again, you saw those kind of flying high, kind of really just some wild, like 20, 30% pumps off the bottom, which I think is a good sign of where, people want exposure. And then again, if we share the altcoin index, still something that's very, very low. Down in the 20s, our yearly low was 12, so not too far from that. The yearly high in 25 was 78, not even close to that. So we've definitely been trending down on the bottom here for 30 plus days, even 90 days. We haven't even broken out of our 90-day range there, which again, if you're doing the research and there's some assets that you think might be underpriced, this is a good time to go shopping if your research and conviction kind of leads you there. But I think overall the price action, I agree with you. It's like there's no clear catalyst outward, but I think you got to be careful too, because once that does happen, if there is that breakout of price, then you're just chasing again. And so, you got to understand, trade your plan plan your trade and trade your plan. It's like, hey, if you were trying to get some assets at a discount compared to a year, 6 months ago, it seems to be, like we've kind of been saying on the show here for a while now, there seems to be some opportunities out there, because you don't want everything to rip back up another 20, 30%. Then you're FOMOing back in. But I think the one thing that we want to touch on before we keep moving on is the four-year cycle. Four-year cycle is officially dead. That was the big talking point heading into the end of the year. The big influencers in the space were coming on and starting to say, like, hey, the four-year cycle is dead. Well, officially it is, because we did not get a year of green for Bitcoin. We ended down the year about 5%. So it kind of breaks that trend. Again, what does this mean for this year? Nobody knows. Nobody has a crystal ball. But I think it is fascinating that the last 6 to 8 weeks of the year, this four-year cycle is dead. Really, talk started happening, and then sure enough, no matter what, it is when you talk about percentage changes for the year. So any thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, cycles overall are, there's always some sort of weight in cycles. I don't believe the four-year standard cycle that we've seen in the past is what a lot of OGs have envisioned. I do believe with the flows of smart money, institutional money, ETFs, all that good stuff, that this is just a completely different cycle. It's a different cycle. It's maturing, and this doesn't surprise me at all. And just going back to the fear and greed meter that you're talking about, what I think right around like Thanksgiving, we were down to like a 10. I mean, it was a low day. You and I, Brendan, the whole team, we were doing rundowns. We're trying to talk people off ledges, and it's just like that felt too low. That extreme fear felt too low. Right now, where we're sitting right in the neutral, I actually think it's pretty appropriate. I feel like this is exactly where we are. We could break upwards, or we could go down a little bit. This feels like a pretty good space. But my own personal opinion and what I'm doing and allocating my funds, it's what I've always been doing. I dollar cost average into some of my favorite positions. I think following smart money, following ETF flows, following institutional buying is all really smart. And I think 2026 is going to be a huge year. But this is certainly an interesting tweet by you talking about the four-year Bitcoin cycle, because I do personally believe it's officially dead as well.
Yeah. Like you said, you follow the smart money, you're following flows. I mean, we covered this towards the end of the year, but it was a positive year for, obviously, the Bitcoin ETFs for when it comes to inflows, IBIT taking the crown there. And then, right, even though Bitcoin was down, and then right out of the gate, 1.2 billion in flows for the first 2 days of the year. That's a $150 billion a year pace. Will it hold that? I don't know, probably not. But, you know, it was raining last year. It was a down year, right? Negative year. And it still took in $22 billion. So imagine if the sun's shining, Eric says, you know, what could these ETFs do? I think that's a really interesting question. It reminded me a quote of Charlie Munger. It was something like, it's the big money's made in the, it's not the timing when you buy, it's the time you're in. It's the waiting game. That's where the big money is made. And so that kind of feels like what you said is follow the smart money. Like, you know, these funds that are putting up these numbers into this Bitcoin ETF, they're not doing it to sell this at the end of the year and take a loss, because they didn't technically, right? The stats show that. You know, it's a long-term game for them. So it's a new era with these ETFs. It's a new era of institutions being involved, not just in Bitcoin, but crypto and blockchain and the technology and, you know, moving things on chain. So, you know, we're obviously hand up completely biased, but we think this is where the future is going, and we're super excited about it. I'll bring up, you want me to bring up the ETF tracker? You can kind of run down that. I know you like to hit those every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what we just talked about there, is that we've had some positive days on the ETF flows into the year 2026. Institutions are still buying. There's a lot of smart money that's still buying. You can see that we were either down or chopping for a few weeks there. But right when the new calendar year flipped over, things started to look good. And what Eric said, or I think in his comment, that $150 billion year pace. I don't think we're going to get $150 billion. I hope we do, but I don't think we're going to see that huge number of inflows. But it's realistic. If we get to like a $130,000, $140,000 Bitcoin, we could see $50, $70 billion in positive inflows on the year. I mean, I'm just really spitballing here as I'm talking about it, but it's certainly encouraging as we're seeing the majors in the community, in the crypto community, just starting to rally again, and they're showing up every single day, seeing positive ETF inflows. The fear and greed meter isn't a 10 anymore. It's kind of right in the neutral spot. I think I don't know. It feels like we found that local bottom that we were all kind of talking about towards the end of the year, with a lot of tax harvesting and a lot of uncertainty there. But now it feels like we've stabilized a little bit. I do think we could chop. I mean, I've said that word a lot over the past few weeks, but I still think we could chop in the 90s. But I do believe once we get through that $95,000 wall, we could be off to the races. And once we get over 100, there's going to be a psychological factor there. There's going to be a FOMO factor there. Retail's going to start talking a lot more about it, and we could really start to pick up. And there's a lot of other catalysts that we always talk about that could help with that. But it's just great to see that these inflows are positive right now to start the year.
Yeah, and nobody knows exactly why, you know, people sell, but the tax loss, you could kind of make the case here of, if you're looking at this chart here for the 1 year, it's like, okay, the majority of people bought from May to July, and then you had a little bit of the end of September, some buying here. But May to July, everybody put in their positions, and then people started FOMOing in end of September. And then obviously in October, we had our liquidation point, and we never kind of went up into the 120s again after that. So you had, you know, I'm just throwing, does it give us a price here? So it's like, I mean, we could probably make an assumption that the average price bought is probably in the mid 90s to 115 would be the average price that people bought between May and September. And so when the, you know, the market drops down to 90 and breaks into the 80, that's what you're seeing here in November, in my opinion, is like, hey, you know, we were kind of hoping at least the end of August into September with this action, you're like, oh man, there might be a chase for performance into the end of the year here, was kind of what we were hoping. Obviously, with the October liquidations, the biggest liquidation in crypto history, we did not get that. And I think that set the table for what we saw at the end of the year is, you know, a lot of these people that put in, you know, big numbers of money into the, you know, the 110, 120 level is like, hey, they're going to go and they're going to sell in November and December. They're going to take their loss. But then you go again to the beginning of the year, and you can kind of see the last 30 days, a lot more selling than buying. And then for some magical reason, January 1st hits and there's a ton of inflows. And so you can kind of guess, at least strategically, that just because the calendar flips, I don't think people's thesis flip. I don't think that's what that is. I think there's a lot of strategic selling in the window to know, like, hey, I want to get back into this position early in the next year once, but I do want the, you know, the tax loss to offset a lot of other gains that happened that we've talked about on this show, whether it's the AI trade, you know, anything technology has been having an amazing generational run the last, you know, couple of years. So there's a lot of gains that probably need to be offset.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot more people this year talk about tax harvesting, just personal family friends or text messages that I got in, or people within the community talk and ask about tax harvesting. So I think.
And we seem to have lost Brian there. Let me Slack him to see if we can get back in. We are live. Hello to everybody live. Lost you, Brian. But we got Happy New Year from Deb. We got Zen in. Zen and Deb in the live chat. Appreciate you guys. Basically, what Brian was saying is online, we saw this a lot of, and again, nothing we say here on this show could ever be tax advice because we're not tax professionals, but there's a lot more the crypto wash trading. And basically what that entails is crypto has different rules than a stock or an ETF. And so the traditional rule for the stock or ETF is if you sell, you can take that loss as a tax write-off, but you can't buy that security back for 30 days. And whereas when it comes to crypto, they don't, the same rules do not apply. And so you got to do the research on your own, depending on what state you live and what rules you follow with your own accountant. You know, you got to figure out what's best for you for doing that tax stuff. That's why we don't really talk about it on the show. But there was a lot more of tax talk the last month. Probably because a lot of people are down. Like we said, they bought in the summer and they bought and kind of FOMO'd in when things were taking off and they got kind of caught on the wrong side of that trade for the year. But Brian, are you back? I'm not sure. I see you. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? You can't hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Yeah, I got you.
I got rugged by Riverside. I don't know what happened, but.
Yeah, you know. Listen.
We're back.
We're glad to have you back. I basically just what I thought your point was going to be was we saw a lot of talk of the tax wash trading online this year more than ever. And probably because, like I said, is, you know, hey, people bought the quote unquote top and altcoins got, you know, fell off a cliff. And so people were taking the advantage of the different rules that crypto has. So I kind of teed that up for our listeners. But any cherry on top that you want to add for the tax conversation? Again, we aren't tax professionals. I already kind of prefaced that.
No, you nailed it, man. I think that's exactly it. And just good to be back on the rundown here.
Don't worry. Well, you're always welcome. You're always welcome. Technical difficulties allowing. But let's talk about Venezuela. I mean, we love to talk world events on the show. I think we want to preface it whenever we talk politics on the show, we just try to keep it as crypto related as we can or as market related as we can. And, you know, we're not ashamed to share a good meme here. So, you know, the United States goes in and gets the president or non-president. I have no take on that, but, you know, the Maduro guy gets taken. And there's a lot of talk like, okay, hey, well, how does this affect the crypto market specifically? And there's a couple reasons. I think the number one is it's going to affect the markets in general based on oil. Venezuela holds, I believe, $17 billion worth of oil in their country, along with a lot of other reserves like gold. So again, that's definitely an attractive country with the wealth of natural resources that it has, but also Venezuela has been doing a lot of kind of transfer trading in Tether and Bitcoin. And so there was a report that came out yesterday that was, will the US go after Venezuela's crypto reserve and add it to the US's? So let's, I got a clip of people talking about that. So let's check it out.
So there is a second order crypto effect here where since for going back a decade now, my reporting was back in 2017, because of spiraling inflation of the Bolivar, a lot of people had turned to cryptocurrencies, mining Ethereum and Bitcoin in their homes in order to just have a stable source of cash. But the other side of this is the fact that there are multiple reports that the government itself has been looking to evade sanctions by doing sales of oil in Tether, which they then move into Bitcoin. And so much of this market moves on sentiment. So even the promise that perhaps the U.S. government, when they came in, might seize these assets, hold on to it, that's a bull case for Bitcoin if you have a stockpile such as that that isn't being liquidated.
All right, very interesting stuff. Very quickly, because we got to go. Is it a tailwind for just Bitcoin or also Ethereum, Solana, and some of these other coins?
It's a rising tide lifts all ships. In fact, XRP has had outsized performance. When you see one altcoin do particularly well, it really is one of these signs of a risk-on environment.
All right, Mackenzie Sigalos, great to see you as always. Thank you very much. All right, before we let you go, one more.
So interesting take there again. How does it and how and why does it matter for crypto? I mean, you heard it there. If they go after and figure out how to get these reserves and add them to the Bitcoin reserve that the U.S. has now, it's an interesting, it's basically it's not a purchase, obviously, it's a confiscation, but I mean, it's a big add. It's a big, big, big add to the U.S. reserve. Speaking of the U.S. reserve, there was some noise online. We tried to do the research here, folks. We could not get it verified, but I think it's worth saying if Cynthia Lummis is tweeting about it and there's a lot of chatter on it, apparently the DOJ at some point sold some Bitcoin out of the strategic U.S. reserve before, you know, they were ousted out of their positions through the new administration. So this isn't something that would continue, but it was something that possibly happened. We weren't able to verify it on chain, but we did think it was, you know, notable enough to mention as Brian returns. Brian, I know we both tried to research this, but it's just something that, again, we should note, and hopefully we don't see any more of it.
Yeah, this was certainly interesting to see this pop up like this. I'm curious about what the on-chain analysis is going to be behind this and what the reaction will be. But I think it's the type of news that we want to deliver to the people here because we want to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and well, you know, that's a negative kind of topic. There were some positive things. So I saw some tracker here that a politician, David McCormick just disclosed buying 200K of the Bitwise ETF, our friends over at Bitwise, BitB. He's on the Senate Banking Committee, so I just thought, again, that's interesting. Before he became a senator, he was the CEO of the largest hedge fund in the world. Again, I would consider him being in the know of somebody called Smart Money, somebody that, especially in the government, who clearly made his money before going into public service, I think is an interesting character to track the trade in. So, you know, you always love seeing people that hold power and are making decisions for this stuff also believe in it with their purchases. And kind of continuing on the government train, next week, I believe there will be a vote for the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate is going to decide on the crypto market structure bill. So, again, that's part of the legislation process. The Senate's going to be discussing it first. Again, that doesn't guarantee anything getting passed. There's a long process there to get these types of bills passed. But starting off 2026 with the crypto market structure bill, it's something that a lot of people in the space believe really opens the door for, you know, kind of bringing the markets and everything on chain. So are you excited? Brian's gone again. This is going to end up being a solo episode, friends and family with me. Never done a solo episode before, so bear with me. We'll run down and give you the rest of the news before we head out of here. Tether, while we were over break, Tether bought $779 million worth of Bitcoin over Q4, it was reported. Again, lots of big companies are buying Bitcoin. It's not just the DATs, right? We've covered, obviously, MicroStrategy and then Bitmine for ETH, but there's just a lot of companies that enjoy having Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and Tether has always had that and continues to add, and it's interesting when they're the largest stablecoin in the world. So that was all the news that I had. Brian's going to try and join us one more time, and then we'll see if he can give us some updates on the memes. If not, we'll keep this episode short to just kind of that update, and then we can try to figure out what was going on with Brian and bring him back on, which I think we're just going to end up doing. So again, sorry about the technical difficulties there with Brian, but we did want to get an episode out to you guys for the new year to break down what was going on while we were gone over break. I'm going to be back later this week. We'll be back Thursday. I'll find out the time and put it on our YouTube community so you guys know where to find us on Thursday, what time, with Brendan. We'll do a little technical analysis and we'll cover the rest of the news. But that's going to be all for today, folks. Really appreciate you. Technical difficulties to start 2026, so hopefully we get them all out of the way today for a smooth ride the rest of the year. My name's Tivo. I always appreciate you guys listening, and we're going to talk to you guys soon. All right, bye-bye, everybody.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.